All right, and there we are, winecellarmedia.com, and there we go, starring Go. All right, let's bring you in closer to the microphone. You guys can hear chairs.
Throwing shade at me because I don't like to yell like you do.
Look at your decibels.
Because I don't like to yell like you do.
Those are okay. All right. Now, this is good stuff. This is fun stuff. There was a while, Jesus Christ, years ago at this point, we were interacting with the folks from the Pennyman program, the John Pennyman Doctrine, that was the name of the program, and we had a hilarious fucking back and forth, because we disagreed on some shit. And I think the back and forth was funny as fuck. Like, I think his episode was funny as shit. I think our episode was funny as shit. It was a good fucking time, having that little back and forth. And then I know there was, that nigga Gilligan and Ricky Loco from the Americans United again. They were riffing and that shit was ill. I like hearing that shit. I like hearing niggas go, I like hearing my own archives of me going to someone, cause I'm like, that shit's funny. And I like hearing them get back at me. And then Ricky Loco, I guess Ricky Loco's still familiar with their content, cause after that, Pennyman got boring to me, because he started talking too slow, doing a lot of couching, and it's like, the shit that made people critique you, that's, like, the people that probably were your, not your target audience, but, like, if you just put it out there, your content and the audience find each other, like, the people that probably dug it the most... Like, you took away that brazen that they probably dug. Like, and that's probably a big reason why you lost a lot of downloads.
I mean, yeah, he did all that, but can we just talk about how basically you hurt his feelings and he gave up?
Nah, that's not what happened.
Are you sure?
He's gonna riff about it. That's the thing. Ricky Loco is familiar. And there was this nigga Howard, right? And people have been listening to the Wine Cellar. I think it was, like, just... early last year when Howard called in, he was talking about how he got accused of rape, and I was like, and then he just kept riffing, like, he didn't just say that, and I was like, nigga, that's crazy, and I just hung up on, because I keep in mind, like, who most of the audience used to be, and I was like, I'm not gonna have some dude on here just riffing about how he was accused of rape, and it was, you know, that broad's fault and all that shit, like, I'm not doing that when, like, you know, at that point in time, like, what, like, 76% of the audience was women, whether cis or trans or femme folks. Mm-hmm. You know, and, like, I'm not going to have that motherfucker on there doing that. And now this nigga Howard has another program, huh?
And, of course, remember, right after that happened, too, and he got put out of our circle, a bunch of women then came forward and were like, I'm so glad, because he was always in my inbox saying creepy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, when I tried to... you know, step forward and be the guy that's gonna be like, hey, man, you can't fucking... He ended up blocking me in the social networks and not interacting anymore. And that's fine. Like, you know, don't interact. You know, bounce, raise up. That's fair deal. And, but now Howard has a program, and he had Pennyman on it, and this shit is fucking amusing as all hell.
And also throwback to, you said Gilligan, because Howard writes for Gilligan's website and puts Pennyman on his podcast. So it's like a nice little trifecta.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, see, niggas always be acting like, it's like when people say, like, people on the Facebooks, right? Phoenix Cleeter's more on the Twitter, I'm more on the Facebooks. And I see people make a post every couple of months where, like, several people will be like, I had to get away from Left Book. It's like, you didn't get away from shit. You changed... groups. With this, you know, like, this particular squad over here, or, like, loose affiliation, and it wasn't for you, so you went to another group. Like, you didn't go rogue, alright? You're not men going your own way. Don't make me riff on that again, alright? you're not fucking MGTOW, okay? Yeah, so that's all they are. And basically what they did was they formed more of an echo chamber. Because, like, if you listen to my program or Rashani's program, we don't cover shit the same. And there are times where we cut, like on a couple of our last few episodes, we covered, like, three of the same stories in one episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, Rashani hit the same... like, I know one of the stories was the guy that got his genitals bit off by the pig.
Yeah.
Like, we cover all these stories in different ways. You know, so there isn't really much of an echo chamber to it. Mm-hmm. Like, Rashani still uses the B word, and I don't. Like, we got different styles. Michael Wright and Kimberly Nicole don't cover stories like we do. Hell, right. Kimberly Nicole has actually quoted Joanne Reed.
Right.
And then, if you ever heard us talk about Joanne Reed, you know, we're different.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, and that's deliberate. Like, I purposely don't want an echo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so fucking more than enough build-up. 5.5 minutes of it. Jesus, ballsack and Christ. Let's get to the, this is Pennyman telling Howard what the deal is. And this is at 12 minutes into the program. It's their May 13th, if I remember right, program. And it's called, what's that title?
Social Justice Supervillains.
I still remember Social Warrior Mercenaries.
That was fantastic. But see, basically, I think that this is just a Pennyman splaining to Howard, because Pennyman's been falsely, air quotes, accused of rape more times than Howard, so he's the expert on gender issues.
Yeah, he's the expert on it didn't rape. All right, fucking, here we dat-gummit go.
Yeah.
And the things that I can't control are very, very annoying, and they frustrate me a lot. I understand how you feel. Let me put it to you like this. Let me get all simpy and relate to you.
By simpy, is he talking about like simp, like how those guys? All right, that's not corny at all.
Because relating to somebody does, in fact, make you a simp. To emotionally bond, that's some simp shit, yo.
That's right, fucking real simps.
Men don't relate to people.
Yeah, fucking homers.
So when it comes to this podcast thing, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to being a social commentator,
yep.
I feel, for myself, that I am one of the greatest speaking minds the world has ever known.
Bam! What you know, one of the greatest. He didn't say the greatest. Mm-hmm. He's nuanced. Mm-hmm. You know, top 5, 10 if you go global.
Greatest speaking minds.
Yep. You ever heard of Robert Greene Ingersoll?
Yes.
It's better than that. And that's in the context of time. Like, if Pennyman was around in Robert Greene Ingersoll's time, holy shit.
This is the guy who did say that Ray Rice's wife deserved to be knocked out because she kicked a bee's nest, right?
That's not what he said. It's different now.
It's different now! The backlash made him change his mind, because that's what happens when you're one of the greatest thinking minds of all time. You evolve.
Yep. Niggas know how I change my mind all the time when people drag me. I always come back and be like, oh no, I meant this. Or do I tell you that you can go fucking... Nah, I would never say that to anybody.
No, actually, you say, fucking battle me then.
I don't say that either. That is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
All right, one of the greatest. And you know what? I mean, given that he's one of the greatest, you'll be able to feel... I mean, just listen to his microphone.
Yeah, his microphone sounds amazing. This audio is fantastic. He's about to drop some gems right now. I can feel it. I can feel it.
Oh, man, and we were going to go get a microphone cover, because I know folks hear that reverb. I was going to go get a microphone cover, and was going to get that Kong Skull Island, and the tire exploded, because it's blowout season.
Hey!
And didn't I say, because you'd never had a blowout before.
Yeah.
And I've never been involved in a blowout before. I did very little motoristing in my day.
Yeah.
Didn't I say we're going to create new memories together?
Yes.
That's
yes,
right. That's our own thing that we got together, a car tire blowout.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So we was going to go get a microphone cover literally Sunday yesterday. It's Monday now. And that's off. And then I think about like $350 are going there.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Yeah. He goes, you know, I'm going to replace this one because it blew out. But the other two are pretty bald. So I'm like, all right, just do it.
Yeah, and you know what? You want to go into the winter with not bald tires. All right, yeah. So fucking that overtime that I worked and that holiday pay and then that overtime that I'm working tomorrow morning. Man, that's going to tires.
Woohoo!
But that's all right. Because you know what I do with, in times like that? Tangent time. I deliberately go into appreciating the fuck out of what we already have mode.
Yes.
I dive heavy into it. Binge watch some shit. Go up in the kitchen and dig into that top shelf and be like, get the fuck. Yeah, like, I know I have, like, fucking, like, Hershey's cookies and cream bars I push to the back. I have pumpkin spice chips.
Yeah, you have pumpkin spice, I think, like, Cheerios or Life cereal or something.
Life cereal, yeah, man. Yeah, I'll go dig way the fuck into appreciate what I already have mode, and that's what keeps me from being mad at shit like that. All right, tangented way off of it. All right, one of the greatest speaking minds the world has ever known.
I want to be immortal.
The best part is that we did not edit this. That was literally just push, pause, and play. Like, holy, we did not clip that together.
Oh, man.
Oh, my fucking God.
All right. The next sentence will not hit us like that. I'm just going to play.
My name, to be immortal. Because the way that I, you know, come to a point of view, come to a conclusion, I feel is the best way to make the most positive outcome for as many people as possible.
I mean, maybe he just want to be immortal so he have time to get his words together into a coherent sentence.
Maybe he wants to be immortal so he can finally have a technique. Oh, man. This shit is fucking awesome.
And that is the most reasonable thing to say, because not everybody is going to succeed. Not everybody is going to get laid all the time. Not everybody is going to be rich. Not everybody is going to be poor. Not everybody is going to be healthy.
I like that he was laying out stuff that is successful, and then, like, not everyone's going to be able to work with, I guess, in capitalism, you do got to earn your way into poor. Yeah. He is one of the greatest thinking minds.
I like how success is getting laid. Like, wealth, security, health insurance, sex. It's all.
Yeah.
It's all in there.
That's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's progress. That's progressive. What am I? I'm hitting something that's causing noise. Okay, it's that. Oh, that's because that's on. Click off. Done. Bang. Blam. Back to it.
Like, these are things that are just truths. So for as many people as humanly possible, let's come up with the most positive outcome. And so when you hear things about, oh, the media just tells you all this bullshit. Okay, well, I don't. Nobody supports me. What?
Nigga, there's other people out there. Like, that's the thing. You don't really, like, there's competition. Like, if you were really that fucking raw, people would just share it around.
Yep.
And fucking dig it.
Yep.
You know, like me, like, of course, I think I'm kind of raw, but then I do see, like, I get notifications sometimes where it's, like, people just sharing their shit and tagging other people, like, yo, check this shit out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I do that with other folks, so I'm just like, yo, check this motherfucker out. Like, right, like, Katie Halper.
Yep.
Yeah, Katie Halper, Benjamin Dixon, the heads like that. Like, I go share their shit, and I'd be like, check these motherfuckers. These motherfuckers are raw. People aren't doing that with your shit.
But he's one of the greatest thinkers of all time.
They just, you know what? It's like what Tretch said from Naughty by Nature. Mm. He's not talking too fast. You're listening too slow.
Mm.
Where's my millions of dollars?
What up?
I'm trying to listen faster, but the words aren't coming out of his face.
Yeah, he has a tough time. It gets even better when we go to his InfoWars segment. It gets pretty good.
Going to be poor. Not everybody's going to be healthy. Like, these are things that are just truths. So for as many people as humanly possible, let's come up with the most positive outcome. And so when you hear things about, oh, the media just tells you all this bullshit. Okay, well, I don't. Nobody supports me. Where's my millions of dollars check, you know, to work at Fox News or work at MSNBC?
Okay. Yeah, maybe he'll hear this, maybe he won't. Most likely won't. They are propagandists tools. I barely ever call anyone tool. You ever hear me use that term?
Nah.
Podcast? I don't. But that's what they are. They're tools. That's why they get fucking paid that. All right? Like, because they are tools for the corporate-owned government. Mm-hmm. All right? Like, that's why you don't get paid to speak the truth at fucking corporate news, and that's Fox News or MSNBC or CNN. That's not what your actual job is there.
Because I think that everybody knows already, right? It doesn't matter what the story is. You know how MSNBC is going to cover it. You know how Fox is going to cover it, right?
Yeah.
Like, you just know from the headline, like, here's, you know, Trump wandered off and forgot where his limo was. You know how Fox is going to handle it. You know how MSNBC is going to handle it, right? Because that's what they do, is they provide propaganda and talking points. No one goes there being, I wonder what independent thought and critique they're going to bring to this scenario, said no one ever.
Yeah, like, so you already know what they're going to do, so now it's about who's the most engaging, who's the most charismatic, and who's, like, the best, do I want to say ringleader, ringmaster, I guess talking head, that's what they are.
Entertainer.
Who's the best entertaining talking head, and guess the fuck what? Rachel Maddow was an entertaining motherfucker. Like, if I compartmentalize, as that word Phoenix Collider taught me, if I compartmentalize the bullshit she's spewing, mm-hmm. and just focus on how fucking she speaks so well, focus on how well she speaks, mm-hmm. how she fucking animates the fuck out of her face,
right.
How she fucking, like, I just said animates her face, like, mm-hmm. the way she does her job, she's fucking good at it. That's why she gets the millions. And Pennyman could, too. I've seen Pennyman on the YouTube. That motherfucker puts on a show.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do propaganda if you want the millions of dollars. All right, back to one of the greatest thinking, speaking minds, however, whatever he said.
I do it better than Tucker Carlson. I do it better than Van Jones. I was going to say Angela Rye, but that's bae. you know what I'm saying? Like, I do it better than Roger Stone and all the Trump supporters and shit and say the most ridiculous shit possible. I'm the best guest. I'm smart. I got a good perspective. I know historical context. You know, all these things. I should be a millionaire right now. I'm 31 years old, and I am no closer.
You know, every fucking 31-year-old, bam.
Yep.
Millions.
Yep.
By default.
By default.
All of them.
All of them.
Thought you knew.
To my goal than when I began in 2012.
You know how you become a millionaire in 5 years off of podcasting.
5 years in anything.
Yeah.
Really? Like, fucking come on now.
That's how it works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You do it. Like, 5 years, millionaire.
Yeah.
Blam.
Yeah.
Good.
I could make all these excuses. I could blame Leslie. Yeah, I did it. There, you happy? I named names. I could blame Leslie. I could blame Ricky. I could blame William. I could blame Phoenix. I could blame Rod. I could blame Elon. And these people...
Niggas is gonna stop listing me with Elon and shit. I'm not.
That's like the third time. That's like the third time in recent history, too.
Fucking Christ.
Have affected my goal. But it's not them who have me in the situation that I'm in right now. I'm not on hiatus because of them. I'm on hiatus because of myself.
Uh-huh.
I'm not happy with my personal life right now. And that's all because of me. No one else did.
Wow. Podcasting is not your personal life. That is your professional life. Or your professional
hobby.
Public persona, hobby, thing you do. That's not your personal life. Like, you don't get to fucking... And this is the thing, I should be a millionaire. Nobody becomes a millionaire saying, I'm going to call in sick today because my feelings are hurt. Like, what the fuck, nigga? It's your job. You have to go.
Yeah, like, I gotta bust a 12-hour shift at the warehouse after catching an Uber home from this one, after catching an Uber there with a really creepy right-winger, and I'm still doing, I'm not doing video, but I'm still doing this audio episode, like, still fucking doing it. Phoenix Cleaver does this shit with a fucking deviated septum with fucking expired snot running down her forehead every day of her life, like,
forehead, though.
And that's what she has, and she still fucking does it. You. Nigga, you share... Well, you and I, Mr. Pennyman, we share in Australian privilege. We need not worry about deviation of septum. All right?
But apparently y'all don't share a work ethic.
Australian. I like that.
Australian. Joydian slips. Australian. Joydian drips. In the land of
nothing. Ew, that's grody. Joydian drips. All right.
And yes, there are things people did to me to put me in this situation.
Wait a second. Hold on. Let's hear those words and then those words.
The most positive.
Same.
Me. No one else did this to me. And yes, there are things people did to me to put me in this situation. Me. No one else did this to me. And yes, there are things people did to me to put me in this situation. Me. No one else did this to me. And yes, there are things people did to me to put me in this situation.
And you know what he's saying is personal life. Nigga. And remember, like, we didn't have high definition audio. We didn't have Facebook videos at that time. My fucking telephone blog talk radio episode did not do shit to your personal life. That was all you. And maybe a little bit of white supremacy, capitalism, imperialism, patriarchy, and whatnot as well.
Yeah.
But none of that shit me. I'm not the capitalist, man. I ain't is B.
It's a Schrodinger situation. It's our fault and it's his fault. All at the same time.
What the fuck? You're Schrodinger's victim.
Oh! Motherfucker. There it is.
Oh, man.
See, we bring the analysis.
It's just fun. Now, this is what Ricky Loco recommended, which I'm kind of stealing Ricky's episode, because he's covering...
Like, and it was... You know, Ricky, I was tweeting at him about it. I was like, I'm listening to this, and I hate you for making me listen to this, because it is horrible. And Ricky's like, we already recorded for like 3 hours. I had to cut up my episode.
Damn. Yeah, we're not doing that. Now, this part, he launches into beautiful InfoWars, just territory, terror dome, terror zone. Go for it. Here we go. The podcast conspiracy.
You go first. Mine's going to be a rant.
What do you want from me? Do you want me to...
Just give the audience an explanation, because you have to realize most people listening to this probably don't know your whole situation between you, Ricky, or who Ricky is.
Well, hopefully there are a few people out there that have heard of or, you know... were interested in the past or whatever, the Pennyman Doctrine. We used to, and when I say we, I'm speaking to UHT, you know, be around or associate ourselves with, you know.
Folks, please excuse how much space has been between his words. When you are one of the greatest speaking minds the world has ever known, you gotta take your time.
Well, it's because there's so much going on in that brain that it takes time to transfer it into the words. You have to stop and process and let it out. Because you can only let out so much greatness at one time.
Yeah, like, this is the only instance in where I'll be like, damn, fucking Bernie supporters. Right, yeah, he was one of us.
Allegedly. He's still pretty fucking pro-capitalist, Mr. I should be a millionaire by now.
Huh.
Like, I don't know how you support Bernie when you're talking about... I deserve to be a millionaire and not actually work because my feelings are hurt.
Yeah, you give me gazillions of dollars and I'm immediately investing into a small little hippie community. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, like, you know how weird it would be to have, like, a fucking big old mansion house with just...
That would be creepy.
Just us? Yeah. That's another factor. It is creepy. Like, I'm not scared of the dark. I'm scared of the fucking big dark. Dark in this little apartment? Okay, I like that dark because... That wall's right there. That thing's right there. Dark and a big old... Oh, shit. What the fuck is going on?
Like, I don't like the idea that, like, I could, like, fall down a staircase and you literally not find me for, like, 18 hours because there's, like, 57 rooms in a house. Like, that's fucking creepy to me. I don't like that shit.
Tell him to stop hitting the floor with the hammer. and unpause. And you probably heard me say stop hitting the floor with the hammer on the podcast. And because I said that,
a lot of the same podcasters and kind of the same realm. And there was just a falling out. So I want to kind of preface all of this where, you know, what I'm about to say is speculation, and I think it's speculation. Well, it's speculation because I can't prove it at all.
Anticipation.
It's just a theory that makes sense to me. It makes me feel better, but it.
Fuck those, your feelings,
those
nigga.
Those darn simp feelings again. Getting simpy, if you will. Ren and simpy.
So wait, hold on. The greatest thinking, speaking mind of all, one of the greatest of all times, made up an entire theory that he can't prove to make himself feel better?
Yeah. Is self-care not great? All right, then.
Is it really self-care when you have to bend yourself into that many knots doing gymnastics?
No, it's not that many. It's like four. That is not that many. I mean, we got four limbs. Hell. Can't put each one in a dat-gum knot.
This is not a game of Twister.
Knott's Berry Farm-ass knuckle.
It kind of makes my viewpoint about the situation make more sense, right? So, most of us as podcasters, black podcasters, and specifically the ones that I had mentioned earlier in the show, we all kind of met each other from Black Podcasters United, which was an idea that Elon from This Week in Blackness had that I heard him talking about on his show when I was a religious fan, I guess, if you will. And I thought that was a great idea because he was talking about making, you know, partnerships with people and having them be a part of the network. And that was the trajectory that I was trying to go on at the point where I was at. I'm real into being independent and owning my own stuff, but you know, if I could make a partnership with someone that I respect or respected, you know, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. Like just the level of, I can't even call Elon a sellout. He used to be a Republican, so just the level of,
he didn't sell out, he bought back in, god damn it.
Yeah, like, fucking, like, because the thing is, like, Elon is a nigga that, you know, gets a spot on, Melissa Harris-Perry quit MSNBC in a really hardcore way, and still had to cover Rachel Maddow's Days Off, but really hardcore, and he used to get spots on that program. He's been brought on CNN to speak. He's been noted and quoted by the British broadcast station on Woman's Hour. Which was funny because she said Ellen. She didn't say Elon.
Oh, that's funny.
Because she just read his name. But, like, fuck it. Like, and you think you're just going to partnership with that from your, basically from the same thing we're sitting in, from in front of your laptop in kitchen chairs. Like, nah. Like, you were a silly dreaming little boy there, weren't you? All right.
So, my whole thing with Elon, if anybody that I've told this to, you know, that would be listening or whatever, remembers correctly, would probably say that, you know, I'm being bitter because Elon was supposed to come on my show, and he gave me the runaround, and then there was another time earlier before he was supposed to come on my show, I had reached out to him, we had talked for a few hours on Google Hangouts, and I, you know, kind of shot my shot and wanted to see if he could mentor me because, like I said, I really looked up to him. I really respected him, and I wanted to learn the ropes from him through him.
What ropes? Nigga, podcasting is what, from what, 2005?
Yeah.
It's not that old. Make up your own fucking way to do it. That's like asking a nigga to show you how to rap in 1987. Nigga, rap how you want to rap. Shit. Like, there's a million styles that haven't been tested out yet. Do your own shit, all right? I didn't fucking ask anybody to show me shit. I said, nigga, I'ma buy a costume and call myself Father Teresa, and I'm gonna fucking talk about the LFL and Christians and Paul Ryan's face. And it worked. No, I'm like getting away to show you shit. Like, Jesus fucking Christ, man.
And, but that's not the thing that kind of bugged me about Elon. The thing that kind of bugged me about Elon was, I started noticing that the whole thing with Black Podcasters United was, it felt to me as though he was trying to see who his competition was and have them all in one place so he could monitor them.
That's what it was.
Yes.
Mass surveillance.
Yes.
Elon, NSA, James White.
Yeah.
And I guess you, you Pennyman Snowden. I knew you was a Russian agent, motherfucker. Hey, Pennyman, that's just fucking silly. Alright. Elon wasn't doing no shit like that. Elon was looking for new. If you want to throw out, this is what I think is just logical here, and I'm not saying this is exactly what he was doing. I think that on some level he was looking for new cheap labor, not looking for who the competition was, looking for who's good enough, who's middle of the road enough, who's safe enough, but also charismatic enough that they can contribute to his network so he can work less. And for the most part, he knows his audience is, for the most part, capitalist Black Democrat women, and that's why he picked up Black Girl Nerds.
Yep.
Like the capitalist Black Democrat academic women. That's who he's going for. So that's who he picked up. It's actually, and you know what? I'm going off what actually happened. This is your speculation. This is just what he did. It's kind of odd. And then at the same time, it did bring some niggas together to where you could link up and shit. Like, fucking, now we fuck with Rashani shit. We fuck with Ricky shit. Like, we fuck back. There you go.
Okay, that sounded much more exciting than it actually is. But no, and I think that that's also, like, speaking to, I don't know, being naive or just being ignorant or just being unaware of Pennyman to be like, yeah, I thought I was going to do all this shit with Elon. But it's like, if you look at who Elon's target audience is, if we're talking about, generally speaking, college educated or at least academic leaning, relatively moderate, centrist, capitalist, Black women, how the fuck you thought you was going to get into that? Like, you have complained about bitches lie about rape accusations because you've been accused multiple times. You justify domestic violence. You hate feminism. Like, I don't understand how you thought what you have made into your platform was gonna fly with somebody who has an audience like Elon does. I don't know.
Yeah, you're not being logical. And I don't know. Is he? He's younger than us, right?
I think he just said he's 31, right?
Yeah, listen to your elders, all right? By, 3 years? I'm older than you by 3 years. I know things. All right, I can clown myself while clowning you. You see how that works? Here we go.
That's what it felt like to me. And there are a lot of people in this group that they're acting like groupies, you know what I mean? They're trying to, like, shoot their shot by, like, how, like, you would like, celebrity, you know what I mean? Like,
and you just you said that's that what too. You were trying to do.
Niggas make me tired.
Something mind projects. All right, sure, let's give it a little bit more.
If you had a celebrity on your show and then that celebrity got you into their inner circle, like, you would feel some type of way for that celebrity, right? And you know, you would feel that you would have that connection, so you would, you know, try to see if you could take advantage of that world, and the best way to do that is to make them feel comfortable, right?
Right.
So it just got weird.
After a while, you really do forget what Howard's voice sounds like. He sounds like somewhere between Furby and Fraggle Rock. Furble Rock. Like, he sounds like that, man.
It's, I'm going to start calling him Furble from now on.
Furble.
Weird for me at that point. People were just being weird. And you know, This Week in Blackness is pretty successful. And I'm proud of them for that. I'm not going to sit here and say that just because I have, you know, a weird kind of feeling about Elon or whatever, but based off personal experiences and personal feelings or whatever that I have that are my own thing, and that, you know, I'm not even trying to like dig at him. I'm just being honest right now. This has nothing to do with Elon, to be honest, you know, at the end of the day. I'm just trying to.
It has nothing to do with Elon. I just spent 15 minutes talking about him, though.
Yeah, that's all. But hey. It ain't got nothing to do with a dat gum or nothing. Even though it has to do with his name, my desire to partnership with him, me calling other people groupies following him, and joining the group he was in, and the fact that didn't he say I was religiously a fan of the show?
Yes.
All right. Nothing to do with, and ain't nothing to do with a dat gum or nothing.
Textualize all this, and I'm trying to be honest. You know, I'm glad that he's doing what he's doing. I hope that all these people are successful in what they do and are able to make a living and are able to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish with their platform. But so that was a feeling that I was having. That, you know, and what I just said there, pin that on the wall, because that is the theme of all this.
Nigga, the wall not big enough for all those words and pauses.
So everybody, you know, started exchanging, you know, friending each other and coming on each other's shows and doing, you know, bumper ads for everybody. It was cool. It was great. But then there were a few in the group that felt they owned the narrative and owned.
All right, this is a part where he just, I'm going to cut it off here, because this is where he, you know, where he just does not know what the fuck to say.
Yep.
And there's so, the pauses between his, not even sentences, the pauses between his words in the sentences are so long that they are legitimately dead air. Like, it's fucking weird. All right, you want to take a look at some news.google?
Oh, sure. I think I put some stuff in the, if you want it.
You want some, you put some stuff in the notes group?
I might have.
Only Negroes put stuff in notes groups.
Yeah, well.
You're a Negro.
Maybe. I mean, that's under debate. I mean, the whole light skin thing.
The whole light skin thing. Naked man painted gold on drugs arrested after strolling through Walmart in Arizona. Well, fine. Whatever. Let's, yeah. Sure.
What?
I can dig it. An Arizona man, naked and on drugs, has been arrested wandering near a Walmart store in Tempe. Robert Caniff, a 49-year-old individual, was taken in by local authorities just before 11 in the p.m. on July 4th. Now, that's how you celebrate it, buddy. That's how the fuck you celebrate it. And painted gold, right?
Yep.
It's gold out there. Because, I mean, Christopher Columbus on them fellas, hey, we're just a bunch of dirty pirates. He was just about that gold. Yes. I like this guy. This is a good guy.
Maybe he was trying to break into Fort Knox.
Fort Knox, that's out there?
No, it's not. But he probably doesn't know that.
That's all right, too. That is also all right. Fucking... And so the police fellas, they received a call about a man donning nothing but shoes, having been dropped off by two people who, quote, thought it would be funny for him to be naked, end quote. A police, that's it, that's the whole reason that you do that. Oh shit, this is where that motherfucker that has the jail where he makes the men wear pink?
Yes.
Shit, what's that, how do you pronounce
Joe it? Arpaio.
Joe Arpaio, because this is out in Maricopa County. And the Maricopa County Sheriff's released that statement. So, Robert Caniff, who admitted to having taken drugs earlier, oh, surprise, surprise, and walking through Walmart, was reportedly charged with indecent exposure, public sexual indecency, and what? See? That's that misandry right there that you feminazis done gone and did.
Mm-hmm.
Now the naked male body is inherently sexualified.
My heart weeps. for all y'all.
It better done did. Yeah, fucking, public sexual indecency and possession of dangerous drugs.
As opposed to non-dangerous drugs, or is that just what they call weed?
That wasn't reefer.
I don't know, man. I just want to know what a dangerous drug is versus a non-dangerous drug.
Some new shit. That's the thing. It probably doesn't have a name yet.
Shit.
It don't. It ain't got no name. They probably call it dandruff or something.
Oh, Jesus.
Court records show that just a week earlier, the suspect had completed a court-mandated drug program. Well, goddamn, nigga. After being arrested in January in 2016 for drug possession, he appears no longer to be in custody. What happened? Where is he? That's the end of the story.
I don't know what that means. What?
That's okay. A great ending. They lost him.
They lost him.
Oh, shit. Third mistrial for white Oklahoma cop who killed daughter's black boyfriend. And he has I did it face. Like that. Damn, that's an I did it face. So, Saturday marked the third mistrial in 9 months for a former Tulsa, Oklahoma police officer who admittedly shot and killed his daughter's black 19-year-old boyfriend. And the Associated Press reports that the Tulsa prosecutor on the case expressed shock when District Judge Sharon Holmes, I've heard that name before, again...
Probably for the first two fucking mistrials.
Maybe. Bam. And they declared a mistrial in the case after Shannon Kepler, against Shannon. Is his name Shannon?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that was a non-binary name.
Oh, yeah. Well, Shannon Sharp is a very famous NFL player. What, former NFL player?
Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
All right, everybody's having a good time. All right. The mistrial in the case against Shannon Kepler because jurors had deliberated for only a few hours. Quote, I have never experienced that procedure before in my life, Tulsa County District Attorney Steve Kunzweiler. Is that Jewy? Is that Jewy or Jermy?
German.
Okay. It's probably German Jewy.
Might be.
Might be a Jew with germs.
Maybe.
And it said nothing that judges often tell juries to continue. But wait. Said noting that judges often tell juries to continue deliberating after such a short amount of time. A few hours. A few. What do I mean? 3 or 7? Right? It's just a few. Give me the number of hours. Somebody has them.
I think George Sidney got the death penalty after like 37 minutes.
He was dark and skinned at the same time.
Mm.
And he put that dark and that skin allegedly up against a little hot gal. You don't do that, little bastard. And he was super predator age too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was like 12.
Yeah, fuck that. Yeah, that's how old I was. Shit. Fucking, excuse me. So, bop-a-dop-bop. Kepler doesn't deny shooting 19-year-old Jeremy Lake, but claims he was acting in self-defense, defending his daughter from a Negro bringing embarrassment to himself.
Mm.
Now, Kepler testified that Lake was armed, although police didn't find a weapon on Lake or at the scene. The shooting happened shortly after Lake had started dating Kepler's then 18-year-old daughter, Lacer. Attorney said that jurors deliberated just 2.5 to 3 hours. Okay, there we go. So, yeah. I don't know. I guess that's short. I mean, what's to deliberate? It's kind of obvious. Oh. It's a white man in Oklahoma that shot a black man over a white girl.
Yeah.
Black boy, really. 19, yeah. Shit. Little ass. 2.5 but Friday before saying they were deadlocked, 6-6, Holmes reminded jurors that the trial had started June 27th and asked whether that changed their minds. When they said no, the judge declared mistrial. Kunzweiler said that he will re-evaluate the 2014 case, taking into account the cost of... Oh, damn. Yeah, you right then a motherfucker. I probably have seen that judge's name because 2014, so this has probably come up several times. You know, but, you know, now we got to talk about Russia, man. But evaluate the 2014 case, taking into account the cost of retrying it and deciding before an August 1st status conference whether to try Kepler for a fourth time. Unlike the previous two trials, Judge Holmes had instructed jurors that they could convict Kepler of first-degree murder on a lesser charge of manslaughter. Kuttenswiler said that it was unclear whether the jury's deadlock was 6 for conviction and 6 for acquittal, or 6 for murder and 6 for the lesser charge of manslaughter. Juries in Kepler's previous two trials in November and February deadlocked 11-1 and 10-2 in favor of guilt before Holmes declared mistrials after up to 12 hours of deliberation in each case. Kepler, who retired from the force after he was charged, was a 24-year-old murdering and raping people veteran and said that he was trying to protect his daughter from people like him who had run away from home and to crime-ridden neighborhoods.
Wait, but how does an 18-year-old run away? Are you not a legal adult when you're 18?
Not if you a gal. You ain't.
Okay.
If you a white gal with a white father, you are not a legal adult until he approves of the white man you marry.
Hmm. And I like that, you know, how when you're looking on websites at, like, suggested stories or you might also be interested in.
Uh-oh.
What is that? Betty Shelby returns to cushy desk job with Tulsa, Oklahoma Police Department after killing unarmed black man and being found not guilty. Hey.
Yeah, that's why, you know, if you shoot a cop, you know, I'm not mad at you. You were preemptively defending yourself.
That seems legit.
Against a murderer. Dad busted for failing to report abuse. Stepson is not my responsibility. Oh, go fuck yourself. Who the fuck is this fucking guy? I tell you, you get to go whomping on the boy. Well, hell, I'm stronger than you. I'll just hold you in a hug until you calm down. Like, you can't go whomping on the boy.
I don't whomp on the boy.
Yeah, I'm not gonna call the police, fellas. And what the fuck is
oh,
this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
So it's an interracial couple. Mm-hmm. This confused-looking white man and this, yeah, I did that shit-looking black woman together for some reason.
It's Florida. What do you want?
Yeah. Ah, man, damn, we gotta put these links in the fucking show notes, because people gotta see these pictures of these mugshots. Mm. So, Dad busted for failing to report abuse. So a white man was just letting the black woman hit the black boy.
Yeah.
I wanna know if he's unemployed and he's just living up in her house. Niggas ain't shit. Fucking a Florida man, as usual, was arrested after investigators found his 5-year-old stepson severely malnourished and still in diapers. Holy fuck! Told authorities the boy was not his responsibility since he comes from a rich and white family. God damn!
I'm keeping this story on deck the next time anybody says, but they have a black significant other. This is my go-to.
Oof. Brian Hall, 29-year-old individual, is facing charges of failing to report suspected child abuse after his wife, Naomi Hall, a 24-year-old stealing her 20s, was arrested in late June when caseworkers from the Florida Department of Children and Families, DCF, visited her home for a follow-up visit in the child neglect investigation. That's reported by the Orlando Sentinel and reposted by the New York Post. Quote, he's not a responsibility, Hall told investigators, according to a Daytona Beach Police Department arrest affidavit. Quote, I'm not his father. I come from a rich and white family. End quote. The boy, who was so malnourished he couldn't speak or stand, was discovered eating pieces of cereal off a filthy carpet in the home. He suffered from dehydration and weighed just under 25 pounds at 5 years old, which authorities said didn't even register on growth charts for a child his age. The police fellers said that the couple share a home in Daytona Beach and are parents of two other children in the home. While being questioned by investigators, Brian Hall pointed to his children and said, according to an arrest report, quote, those two are taken care of, end quote. Mm. Brian Hall was legally obligated to report the neglect of the boy, investigators said. The boy, meanwhile, remained in intensive care as of Tuesday at a hospital. He's also receiving physical and speech therapy. the State Department's State's Department of Children and Families took custody of the couple's other two children, also reported by the Orlando Sentinel. Naomi Hall admitted to authorities during her arrest on June 29th that the boy went without food for stretches as long as 4 days, and she made no attempt to feed him. Hall said she and the boy did not communicate, but acknowledged that he was hungry because he will chew on his hands, end quote. And that's reported by the Sun Sentinel news outlet. The boy, who also had blistered hands and feet, was prescribed an appetite stimulant, but Hall said she didn't use it because it was ineffective and made her son drowsy. The boy's clothes were filthy and apparently had not been bathed in, quote, quite a while, police said. Police and child welfare advocates declined to release details on the welfare of the other two children in the home at the time of Naomi Hall's arrest on a charge of child neglect causing great bodily harm. Quote, "We're, of course, investigating thoroughly to ensure the safety of these children," a DCF spokesperson told the Sun Sentinel last week, continuing, quote, "We're still working to gather information, but our focus is on keeping these children safe and healthy." What the fuck is going? I'm saying what the fuck is going on, nigga. I seen some shit. Yeah.
Yeah, we know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, and people are fucked up, and everybody shouldn't be breeding, and everybody shouldn't be together. And this is a racist white man that's just like I'm not believing the rich white family part.
Yeah, I doubt that.
Yeah, and he's probably just basically a vanilla ain't shit nigga.
Yeah.
Just up in her house and probably just watching the boy get hurt and just be a little asshole white supremacist. I will not share this story with Gusty Renegade. I don't want to know what his spin on it would be. Or Jesus Christ, the Nasheed crowd. Oh man, that's something we got to share with you guys.
Oh, is, yeah.
Oh man, there's Hotep beef. There's, the thing is, see, nigga, we are nerds. And I think this makes us just as tacky as everyone else, right? Because this is drama.
Yeah.
All right, so something that we talk about sometimes is these black conservatives that I call the students or the children of Welsing and Fuller, Francis Cress Welsing and Neely Fuller, and Neely Fuller Jr. And, you know, like, the children of them, you know, not all of them have voices. Some of them do, right? Tariq Nasheed, Gusty Renegade, two of the main ones I'm mostly familiar with. And then you have, like, Cynthia Gree on YouTube. She's a Sin G, if you follow her. C-Y-N space G. She's one of them. Scotty Reed has 1 foot in it, but he reads a lot of facts, and that kind of fucks that up sometimes. Like there's one segment Scotty Reed did a few months ago where he was just shitting on Neely Fuller about Reefer. Shitting on him, and so like that happens sometimes, but he still has 1 foot in that shit. And and you could tell like after Tariq Nasheed released the Religion of White Supremacy DVD, like Scotty Reed, like for a couple of months he would say white supremacy, the Religion of White Supremacy. He wouldn't say I watch this DVD or I follow this person. He would just say that phrase, and he did that for a couple of months. So you could tell like this is a sort of a circle thing going on here. And something Tariq Nasheed recently did was he released a video game application to make fun of Tommy Sotomayor, however you pronounce that.
Sotomayor, yeah.
Sotomayor. And you know, basically making fun of him, calling him crispy. And they call him crispy because he's, like, ashy, dirty, funky. Yeah. You know, but other folks hear crispy and they think you're saying it because, like, black, burned, overcooked. You know, so the folks from Gusty Renegade's wing, they believe in this thing that they call VGQ that they get from Neely Fuller, Victims Guaranteed Qualification, which basically means black people aren't accountable for anything. That's just what that means to them. And so you can't diss Tommy Sotomayor for, like, talking about punching black women and shit like that and all that shit he be on. But when, like, Tariq Nasheed goes and disses him for it, It's like suddenly it's anti-black problematic. And this guy that regularly calls in named Ken Steele did a long, very carefully worded riff about that. Mm-hmm. And like he knows that they call him a coon over there a lot. Yeah. So he was like, and they call him things like, you know, a certain word that is not allowed on this program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's very interesting, man. You want to listen to the last episode the context of white supremacy, the Cal's compensatory call-in from Saturday, July 8th is where you'll hear that one. And then like Tariq Nasheed's like last two episodes, you hear him talking about how well his application is doing. Like at that point in time, at that particular moment, it was the number 2 in Google Play downloads. Mm-hmm. And so like, so it's not like that big funny I'm King Kong consciousness Hotep beef with, you know, Dr. Umar, but this is fun Hotep beef for nerds like us. And on some level for us, this is our basketball wife reality show.
Yeah.
Right? Like this is the kind of drama we want to see, is fucking pseudo intellectual Hotep beef.
Yeah. I think what's fun is because it's not scripted.
Yeah.
And it's like they're like, they legitimately have beef, but none of them have good ideas for the most part.
Nope.
So like, this is gonna be fun. Yeah.
Alright, so one more, and get it all the way done. Let's hope I didn't hit pause at any this time. Okay, I kept it going.
Okay.
I tell you what. Now, a police feller, he was just out doing good things, playing basketball, little Negro children, breakdancing and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, teaching them how to rage, just saving the black community like mm-hmm. good white policemen do.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't even know if he was white. But, now there was a shooting that was going on down there in Baton Rouge in Louisiana. And that police feller was on down there, and it was last year. And three other police fellers, well, they ended up dead. And then this one got injured, and he said, I'm going to file me a lawsuit. And he sued Black Lives Matter, the whole movement, for some reason. Well, the leaders, at least. Mm-hmm. And this was on Friday, accusing them of inciting violence that spurred the attack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, the lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court in Louisiana, it named D. Ray McKesson. Ain't that little Nancy boy?
Yeah, he was gay. He got a bunch of people to be like, we don't support the gay movement. You've hijacked the black civil rights movement. You're not down for liberation, brother. Because you're gay and you wear a blue vest all the time. I don't know what his fucking deal is with that vest.
Yes. He appropriated part of the white man's rainbow.
Really?
Hey, that's funny right there. Now, so he named D. Ray McKesson and four other than Black Lives fellers, and they were leaders as defendants, and he sought to get $7,000 to $5,000 in damages. Nigga, that's barely a Soros check, nigga. We got it. It came on the 1-year anniversary of one of the deadliest days in U.S. modern history. But
see, like the story behind the story there, because he doesn't care about winning the money, because it's not about the money. But if he wins at all, even if it's a small amount, that puts it on the path to have Black Lives Matter deemed a terrorist organization, because they have now been liable for inciting violence against a protected class of people, a.k.a. police.
I believe the big fancy word y'all folks be using is a precedent.
Indeed.
Yep. Or that's as Donald something. Trump would say, unprecedented. That's when you know he's tweeting and it's not a staff member.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah, man. Now, and then, you know, and this is on the heels of, when some great man who was not at all affiliated with the Black Lives folks, and actually they didn't want him down with them, and he thought they weren't hard enough to roll with him, and he shot some cop fellers down there in Dallas, and those cops had it coming because they're a bunch of rapists and murderers.
That's what happens when you live gang life.
Now, D. Ray Mick, fancy Nancy colored boy, was not available for comment. That's right, fancy Nancy colored boy. Uh-huh. Yep, that's right. And he wasn't available to be commenting. And the Black Lives Matter leaders, they denied accusations that their movement promotes violence against the police fellers. And about 10 days after the Dallas shooting, which I don't think is relevant to this story at all.
It's not.
And so, yeah, that's the deal. So that is up in the air, and you have to follow it.
I will follow it. It'll be interesting to see what happens, just to see, you know, if they actually get Black Lives Matter called a terrorist organization. But then, like, it's also funny to me, too, because they'll be like, well, Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization, and they're unleashing all this terror and murder and violence on police. And it's like, but then at the same time, y'all call us thugs and accuse us of shooting millions of each other a year. Do you honestly think if Black Lives Matter was legitimately a terror organization trying to fuck shit up, there would be like what fucking 30 cops die a year or something?
No. You know how many cops are murdered a year by the Negroes, by super predators?
I know how many lie and say they got shot by Negroes when they shot themselves.
Hey, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That is getting shot by a Negro. The gun was black.
Oh, man. Wait, so if your gun is, like, nickel-plated, what is it? If your gun is silver,
If your gun is silver, that's a Negro with gray hair. You got shot by an old Negro, which means he was real bitter. Because he had been around being lazy and watching a white man work hard and move past him for longer. Uh-huh. Which means they have more of a reason to shoot you. Wrong or right, they have more of a reason.
Mm-hmm.
See, so...
Before America can be great again, she must be free again. You're right. Listening to the Alex Jones Show.
He's got the biggest, juiciest... Why I barely had time to skid into my seat here.
Feeling it?
Incredibly important transmission straight ahead. But first, John Bowne has filed an extremely powerful report dealing with the fact that Linda Sarsour and her Soros groups are openly funding sedition inside this country.
You didn't know that?
I saw that they're accusing her of calling for jihad, and that's literally, like, not what she said at all.
No, they're openly funding sedition inside this country.
No, they're not.
Elizabeth Warren, a.k.a. Pocahontas.
All right.
All incredibly unpopular, even in their own party. And they've tried to unseat, obviously.
No, Elizabeth Warren is unpopular with progressives. She's popular as fuck with liberal Democrats.
Nancy Pelosi. They tried to have Hillary put out the pasture, but it doesn't happen. But you know what? Maybe it's good to keep the old guard in, because even though they're super unpopular, if you look at who's coming up next, it's even more frightening. Linda Sarsour, who has at least three close family members in Israeli prisons for terrorism, is running around everywhere. We just played clips in the last segment.
You know that? Look, she's a terrorizer.
She is a terrorizer. But see, this is that shit where, like, I really don't understand how people fall for propaganda. Because I would be like, three? Damn, that's messed up. What are their names? Because I would, like, legitimately be curious. Like, I want to know who the terrorists are. And they're like, three of them over there. Confidential source can't tell you the names.
Right,
like,
I'm just skipping around for a second. The real program's over. Because we usually do this after the program's over, laugh at Alex Jones for a second, and then fucking eat some chicken. Damn, yeah, we do that.
The NRA Dana Loesch piece, and then we'll get into their counterstrike. Here it is.
Oh man, I remember that Dana Loesch segment. It was funny as shit. She was with us. She was with Glenn Beck's thing. She was basically, you know, like, talking about, like, there's no white privilege, some shit like that. It was a great fucking segment.
Oh, okay.
All right, she's got to go make a phone call. So that there's your wine cellar. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. And that was just a straight-to-audio podcast episode. No video with this one.